Gospel this day, a reading from the book of St. Mark in the 16th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
And when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side. And they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. This is my favorite resurrection reading amongst all the Gospels, and I'll tell you why shortly. Part of it has to do with the fact that Jesus says, "I want you to go home." Now, for any of us who go home, who've gone home, and don't do it regularly, like we don't show up every week, every month, going home is quite the experience. I met a man at the congregation I served in Medicine Hat who found that out the hard way. He'd gotten to be old enough in life that he said, "Oh, it can't be that long ago." So while he was sitting there, I checked the church records. And what I said to him was, "Hey, the last time you were recorded being in the building was 23 years ago." He was amazed. He thought it was only like 10. Anyway, he had come back. And he had come back for not good reasons, because both his wife and daughter, only child, had been killed in a car crash in Australia where they'd been living the last 25 years. And he said, "I came back because I wanted to come home." He was a native Hatter. And he looked at me, and there was sorrow written all over his face. And I looked at him, and I immediately said, "Hey, this is not the same place, is it?" He goes, "Nothing close to it." He said, "There's a major highway through it now with buildings on both sides." That was just the start of 20 minutes of a list that he ran through about how different it was. And he wasn't comfy. He wasn't happy. Going home. I'll come back to that in a second. What has happened is that there is preparations that need to be done. See, yesterday got in the road because yesterday's church. And you can't work on Sunday, or rather Saturday. As Jewish people, you don't do it. It's in the rules. So therefore, we're going to finish the job with Jesus that we had to rush through on Friday this morning. And they get there and there's nothing is what you want. First of all, the stone's in the wrong place. Second, all the spices we brought, we don't need. Third, Where's the body? He's not here. But there is somebody else here, and they are completely, utterly spooked. That still happens, by the way, dear friends, people being completely, utterly spooked. At the group home that my son lived in, our oldest son lived in Medicine Hat, the last months of his life, they said this, "Oh, yeah, we heard about your troubles." And I went, "Oh?" They said, "Yeah, four of our staff, they've all had the same experience." And then they blew me out of the water. Now, Jeremy was one thing, but the fact that his grandfather, who died 3 weeks before him, was included, blew me away. They said, "Yeah, Granddad showed up. We saw him walking around the basement checking the supplies," which is something he loved to do. And then they said to us, "Oh, yeah, and Jeremy showed up. He was checking out his room, walking around." Now, our son never walked anywhere. He was always in a wheelchair his whole life. They had seen these people. And they said, "Yes, we knew it was them." The women are seeing an angel of God. This is standing in the presence of the Lord. This is being involved. This is huge. And the reaction is the one that I had the first time I got a hold of this story in my life. Terror and amazement had seized them, and they ran away and told nobody. That's completely different from the rest of the stuff we have in the Gospels. They run away, and they are in such shock that they can't see what's happening. And yet, the direction is to go home. Now, when you go home, there are two things you got to remember. One is this. You're not the same person walking in. Life has changed. Number two, it's not the same place because everybody else has moved on. Sometimes we get lucky. Sometimes some of the landmarks are still there. Sometimes they're not. I am so blessed that the house I first landed in is still in my hometown. Not everybody can say that. Developments happen. But what Jesus wants them to know is, hey, I'm just opening the next chapter. And if you want to see the results of what's going to happen tonight, Luke 24. That's the first one. It goes from there, and we're going to talk about that for the rest of Easter, about how this supposedly dead man walking is very much alive, is very much in motion, has very much things to tell us, has very much not finished the job quite yet. But I'm getting ahead. When was the last time you went home? And what did that mean? Amen.